Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And as you know, this show is about showcasing and bringing to the airways individuals and corporations and projects that are working to make our world a better place. And today, I have the wonderful opportunity to not only interview somebody that I absolutely adore, but who lives in a place that I love. And she ushers in and helps people understand the beauty of Northern Michigan. My guest today is Amanda Wilkin. And Amanda was just recently named the Young Professional of the Year 2020 for the city of Charlevoix. And I want to welcome you to the show, Amanda.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely a pleasure. So one of the things that I think is so important now, and I'm sure, you know, I want your thoughts about it, is certainly since we have been through this COVID, we really need to reconnect with the earth. And to me, there is no more beautiful place than the Great Lakes.
You know, totally agree.
We have the unbelievable advantage of having the largest fresh water in the world, with miles and miles and miles of beach and shoreline, and incredible numbers of inland lakes. And so that you get to welcome people to the city of Charlevoix and to help them understand that is really quite an amazing thing. So tell me a little bit about Charlevoix and where it is in Northern Michigan for those, because there's people listen from around the world. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. So I am so lucky and blessed to be the one who gets to promote Charlevoix and bring people here for vacations and day trips as well. But Charlevoix is located on the northwest coast of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. So as Michiganders, we do. Oh, I might be backwards. We're up here. Yeah. We're up here. So we're between Traverse City and Mackinac Island, which a lot of people have heard of both of those destinations. So it is nicknamed Charlevoix the Beautiful, which was coined in the late 1800s, actually. So that nickname goes back to a journalist from the late 1800s who visited the area and coined the term Charlevoix the Beautiful. So ever since then, we've been very proud of that name, and it holds true today. Charlevoix is absolutely beautiful. From the fresh water, we're on Lake Michigan, and we're also surrounded by water. So Lake Michigan connects to Round Lake, which is which our downtown is set along, and then that connects to Lake Charlevoix, which has received quite a bit of publicity as one of the most beautiful lakes in the country and one of the best boating lakes in the world, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, to me, it's always Northern Michigan has been such a place of refuge and beauty. And, you know, the diversity of the land with the dunes and with the shoreline and just, you know, the beautiful agriculture there in and around that area in Northern Michigan with fruit trees, very well known for fruit trees south of you in Traverse City and the cherry capital of the world.
Yeah.
And I think many vineyards and other things, but what is so important and you're so involved in with the Chamber of Commerce and also with Visit Charlevoix in particular, to get people back out into the world. So tell me what you're doing, Amanda, with ecotourism and getting people back into nature. Tell me what you're doing, what you're spearheading, please.
So Charlevoix has been an ecotourism destination for forever. You know, the fresh air is something that people have been coming since the late 1800s for from the large cities. People have come to Charlevoix to get away from the big city. So again, that still is the case today. But especially now in 2021 and the pandemic that we've been going through, I think people really feel that need to connect with the earth and to connect with nature. And we are so lucky to be here in Charlevoix and have bountiful nature and beautiful waters and great places to connect to the earth. You know, we're just so lucky to be in this beautiful place and have the lakes around us. So a lot of people have been kind of coming here to escape the large cities. So a lot of our short-term rentals have been rented out for, you know, for months at a time. And people really want to escape their lives in the larger cities and come here to a place that is a little bit more relaxed, and you see a lot less people here as well, especially in the wintertime. So it's been a refuge for many people during this pandemic. And you know, we're happy to have our new friends here. and it's been great to see all these new faces.
Well, one of the things, if I'm not mistaken, that you're working on is making sure that there's wonderful walking trails and trails of different kinds to connect places of interest, you know?
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So new trail projects. First, I'll talk about a trail that is my absolute favorite trail in the whole world. It is the Little Traverse Wheelway. It connects Charlevoix to Harbor Springs. So going through Bay Harbor and Petoskey. Elaine, have you been on that trail before?
No, but you'll have to take me.
Next time you're here, we'll go. It is absolutely beautiful. So it goes along the coast of Lake Michigan. It is probably the most beautiful trail in Michigan. I might be biased, but I think it's the most beautiful trail. So you get a lot of areas that you see the lake. Most areas you're riding along the Lake Michigan, and then you go through the woods a little bit as well. And then there's some boardwalk areas over wetlands, and you just get to see a lot of the naturescape in northern Michigan along this trail. So Little Traverse Wheelway connects us up to Harbor Springs. And then the new trails we're working on right now, the Charlevoix to Boyne City Trail. So that connects Charlevoix over to Boyne City to Boyne Falls.
And where is that in relation to Charlevoix for those who are not familiar?
Yep. So that is about 20 miles east along Lake Charlevoix. Okay. So it is... That trail just goes along the top coast of Lake Charlevoix. It's absolutely beautiful and connects to the other trails in northern Michigan. So connects to all of the trails across northern Michigan. So from Charlevoix, once the Charlevoix to Boyne City Trail is finished in the next, it should be the next year and a half. So once that is finished, you'll be able to get anywhere in northern Michigan, and I guess anywhere in the world, actually, from that trail.
Amanda, let me ask you for a moment, please. Is this a driving trail exclusively, or is there also, I know you mentioned a boardwalk, but are there hiking trails? Because to hike in the woods and on the shoreline is just so breathtaking.
It is. Yeah. So that you can do anything non-motorized on either of those trails. So biking, hiking, it depends on how far you want to walk. Yes. So the wheelway is, it is a long trail. So 26 miles. So, you know, you could definitely walk part of it. Or if you're an avid walker, obviously you can walk the whole thing, but, most people do use bikes. Mm-hmm. So most of it is for biking. A lot of people do cross country skiing in the winter as well on that trail. So, you know, basically anything without a motor you can do. So that trail is great, and then the newest trail we're working on is connecting Charlevoix to Traverse City,
which is south.
Yep. So that's about 50 miles south of Charlevoix, and it's on the Little Traverse Bay. It's also a great destination, as Elaine said, the cherry capital of the world, and a big winery hot spot in Michigan as well. So really good viniculture and just a beautiful place. So that will connect. I would hope we'll have that trail built within the next 10 years. Trail expansion and trail development is a painstakingly long process.
I would imagine, because you want to be respectful to the natural typography of the land. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you're not interfering, because that's part of the problem in, you know, urban development, if you want to call that, is, you know, they just go wherever they want to go. And I think that you're probably, I would imagine, much more careful and mindful of the waterways and things of that nature.
Yes, it is. It is very thoroughly planned out. And you have to get a lot of agreement from landowners too. So there are a lot of farmlands and homeowners, property owners that have to give a little piece, a little sliver of their land in the hopes of getting this trail completed. So it is an environmental, you know, thing to make sure that, you know, you're making sure the environment is not disturbed. So it's a long thing. It's a long time, and it's definitely worth it in the end to give access to people to see all of these beautiful places, really.
And as you know, that I've always been a student of Native American information, so I'm very intrigued as to why they call it the Wheel Trail, because I have an idea why, but do you know why?
I do not know. No, I don't. I assumed it was for biking.
Well, actually, I would think that would have to do more with the medicine wheels, because Michigan was native land, mm-hmm. preceding, you know, colonization, which of course Charlevoix was not the original name of the city.
Right.
It was called the Pine River, I believe, right? Or the Pine mm-hmm. Trail.
Yep. Pine River.
Pine River. So, you know, I think that one of the things I want to talk to you later about in the hour is the wonderful way that you're bringing back that history of the indigenous people and respecting that heritage, because they are the keepers of the earth and they understand so much more that we need to remember. And I want to thank you personally for what you're doing in regard to helping their stories be returned.
Of course.
Because yes. It's such an important part of the Americas, not just the North American continent, but the Americas. Mm-hmm. And certainly Michigan is of utmost importance to that. Because it yes. was sovereign land, you know, so beautiful. So thank you for what you're doing in that regard, because, you know, in the ancient histories of this country, you know, they Native peoples knew how to navigate the waterways to get to places very quickly, you know, to trade, to barter, to all of those things that were a part of life, you know.
It is so interesting. And I personally am just at the tip of the iceberg learning about their Native American histories and culture. So I'm fascinated by it. And I think it's something that everyone should be learning about.
Oh, yes. And I really am. When I read that, when you sent me that information, I was just so happy. Because, yeah. you know, there's so much of our history that is lost, but it is so imperative now. When we as human beings need to get back to the land, not to one, a Native American elder once said to me, never, never go from place to place as a tourist. Go as a woman of the world.
Very
and
nice.
So that to me really helps you to understand this is our home. This earth is our home. And I think sometimes when we go only as a tourist, and I understand that that's the title because that's what, you know, is our vernacular. But I think that you personally bring so much more to it, and you're blending that deep respect, because I know you and I know who you are and I know your sweet husband, another son of mine, you know, that reverence and respect for the earth is what I think has brought you the recognition you deserve, and you in turn will bring that recognition to others that are also deserving of that, you know, that are listening and are opening our hearts. So important. So can you tell me a little bit about the incredible, I know every time I go to Charlevoix, other than visiting you guys, is I love to go to get the fish. Can you tell me about the fisheries and, you know, that industry that we've, you know, the freshwater fish is just phenomenal here.
It is the best. So John Cross Fisheries, they supply much of northern Michigan with fresh caught fish from Lake Michigan. And it's based right here in Charlevoix on Round Lake, which is our downtown area in Charlevoix. They have been fishing for generations, generations and generations. And again, going back to the Native American culture, they have many Native Americans that work for them and fish. And that is kind of how they're able to catch fish and to supply fish to all the Northern Michigan restaurants as well. So you can go in Charlevoix, you can go right into their store. You can see the fish being processed
and smoked.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Yes. Yes. So I'm not a huge, I shouldn't say this out loud, but I am not a huge fish lover actually. But Northern Michigan, I should say that again. I don't like seafood. But I like lake food.
Yes, it's different. It's a totally different flavor and texture.
Yes, yes. So the Northern Michigan whitefish is my favorite. And that comes right locally out of Lake Michigan. They also can fish whitefish in Lake Superior as well. But we just love whitefish. My husband and mother-in-law prefer walleye, which is also caught fresh here. And then the perch as well. So those three fish are very well known for the Charlevoix area. And it's just so good. And yeah, John Cross Fisheries, they do, they catch it fresh. You can buy it fresh, or you can get it at the restaurants, which is a little bit easier when you are traveling to this area. So you can experience, you know, you could eat fish three times a day while you're here if you want to.
Breakfast, you know, lunch, one of dinner. The things too that is so interesting and I think very unique to Charlevoix is the what are called mushroom houses. Can you tell me about those? Because they're so amazing. They look like hobbit houses. So cool.
They do. Yeah. So the mushroom houses were built by Earl Young, which he started in, he actually learned his stonemasonry from Castle Farms when that was being built in the mid 19 teens. So they finished that in 1918. Earl Young was very young then, and he watched the stonemasonry process at Castle Farms. So he began to learn his love of stones and how they fit together to make buildings and structures from there. And he went on to build, 27, 28 homes and structures in the Charlevoix area. They are called mushroom houses because they look like they grew up out of the ground like a mushroom. So they are very organic looking. And Earl Young, his aesthetic was to have something look like it just grew up out of the ground. So again, with the environmentalism, he wanted no impact to the land. So a couple of his homes actually, as the trees have grown, the homes that were built in like 1950s era, the trees are like this close to the house. Some of the roots are kind of like lifting up the houses. But the homeowners, they're not going to do anything to their houses. Most of the houses are in a historic district now, so they are protected because there have been a few of them that have been completely overhauled, much to the community and the historic buffs in the area, much to their dismay. But the people who have redone them, they're beautiful as well. But we want to save that little piece of history here in Charlevoix. So they did build make a historic district.
And they have, some of them have thatch roofs, don't they?
So that originally a lot of them did have thatch roofs, thatch or cedar shakes, were his original things. The thatch of that Earl Young originally did. The thatch actually didn't last very long.
Well, I would think because of the weather, I would think it would deteriorate. It's not
right,
you know, like in Europe, in the British Isles and Ireland and Scotland, where you see them more often, certainly in Ireland. But they have an Irish look to them, most definitely.
Yes, yes. So the thatch house is one that was redone probably about 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was actually Earl Young's home. It was almost dilapidated. You couldn't live there. It was in really rough shape. So the gentleman that bought it, he envisioned making it what Earl Young would have wanted now. So he brought in thatch experts from Europe, and they put a new thatch roof on this home, and it is on a bluff on Lake Michigan.
Oh my.
So it is, it does receive quite a bit of weather, and so it needs to be repaired fairly frequently. But it is just so cool. It's so beautiful, and it is a home that you can actually stay in. So if you're interested, look it up. It's absolutely beautiful. I've been in it a number of times, and you just feel like you're in a fairy tale when you go in this house. It's so cool.
That is awesome. So tell me about how, you know, I know that boating and fishing is so important there, and I was doing a little bit of research of how they connected. I think it was in the early to mid 1800s, Lake Charlevoix, Round Lake, and Lake Michigan. Can you tell us a little history of that?
Sure. So Lake Charlevoix is just as it was, you know, as it was made by God, right? So Lake Charlevoix is the way it was, but Round Lake and the Pine River, which connects Lake Michigan to Round Lake, they were dredged a long time ago. I can't remember what year.
I think it was in the early 1800s, if I'm not mistaken, or around sometime in the 1800s, I believe.
Yeah, because they had to get, so logging was a big thing, and the logging industry from Boyne City, actually, so the cities surrounding Lake Charlevoix, those cities, they were huge into logging, and some large barges would come through. So they had to make the Pine River channel, which connects Lake Michigan to Round Lake and Round Lake to Lake Charlevoix. They had to dredge that out so that they could get those barges through to collect the wood for all of the furniture making and everything else we do with wood these days, which no longer happens in this area, but that is how people began to colonize and began to live here, is the logging and fishing industry.
So do you know, have they replenished the areas that had been logged previously? Because I know it looks very heavily wooded. And I'm, you know, I would imagine with the eco consciousness of Northern Michigan that they would try to make sure that they recouped that.
Yeah, most areas they were either built, you know, they built homes and such right, in those areas that were logged, and they've just let the wood naturally come back. So it is very heavily forested and very, very wooded in most of the areas up here. All of the nature preserves, which going back to you talking about the hiking, there's, you know, 20 different nature preserves within about 5-10 minutes of downtown Charlevoix. So there are many, many nature preserves, and they have naturally come back. The woods have just come back, and now we are very conscious of you know, degradation of the land and making sure that, you know, if there is any logging going on, that that it's done in a sustainable way.
You know, one of the things that I know that you're working on is culture diversity, you know, obviously to bring back the Native American culture, but also, you know, you have the Venetian Festival, you have all kinds of things. You really are a cornucopia of welcoming people from all walks of life. You know, we have certainly the super rich that come there, and you can see it's evident in the mansions, some of them, but it's not just for the rich. It's for everyone that appreciates, you know, the beauty of nature and the beauty of the area. Can you talk about that? You know, the diversity.
Yes. As you said, it's there are a lot of wealthy people that live here, but there are many people that live here, myself included, that we don't live in mansions, and we don't drive all kinds of fancy cars and such. But there are just so many different types of people that live here. Generally, most people are Caucasian. I think it's like 98.5% that live here. So we do welcome everyone. So during the summer months, we see a lot of different folks come in for vacations, or those folks that stay here during the summer and they're in their resort town or the resort areas. Come in for months at a time, which is great. So there are just so many different types of people that come through, and we are just so welcoming to anyone who wants to come and visit us.
And that's true because it's a very welcoming place. No matter where you go, people are very friendly. And I love what about love about Charlevoix is, can you talk about the beautiful park that's right, that is on Bridge Street, which is the main street? And can you talk about that? Because it's so unique and it's just like a big community open amphitheater.
It is. So East Park, it was built in 2007 and 8. It actually took a couple seasons. I remember it because my wedding was in 2008, and
Yes.
I remember the construction. But it is absolutely beautiful. So it has won many awards, the Public Space Award, which also Grant Park in Chicago has won, Central Park in New York, and Little Charlevoix in East Park has won the same award, which is so nice and so humbling for our community to win a similar award to those large parks that are very well known around the world. But it is, as Elaine said, it is a big amphitheater, and during the summertime, knock on wood, this summer we can have concerts again. But a few concerts a week go on in the summer, and people just throw down blankets, and the land is kind of undulating down into Round Lake, so you get that natural sound amplification
The
for music.
acoustics are amazing.
The
It's
acoustics are
natural
amazing.
acoustics.
It is. It is. And I assume that they thought of that when they
Oh, I'm sure.
kind of made the land kind of undulate like that. But it is just absolutely beautiful to catch a concert in that East Park is so nice. So one end of the park is an amphitheater, and the other end of the park is a trout pond, and a lot of people love to come and just feed the fish. And I think those trout probably have the best life of any trout. They get fed all the time, and it's a nice little waterfall and a few ponds that they can go between, and then an interactive water fountain for kids. So that's all set right on the marina in downtown Charlevoix, and my kids love playing in that interactive water fountain, and it's just so fun to go down there and watch everyone having such a great time, and boaters and people that are just coming for the day. It's really kind of a community centerpiece, really, in our downtown.
One of the things that is so interesting, and I remember one of the first times coming when I was a little kid, is the drawbridge. That you are really connecting, one body of water to another body of water right in the middle of a town. So tell us about the drawbridge, because they always make it fun. It's not just, they do, they kind of have a little bit of character about that.
So you either love the bridge or you hate the bridge, because
And it's timed, right? Sometimes it's timed.
it is timed, generally speaking. The only time it's not, it's on the hour and half hour during the summer. The only time it's not is if the Coast Guard has to go through. So other than that, you can plan your driving based on the hour and half hour, avoiding those times because it does back up traffic quite a bit, which if you're visiting is a lot of fun to watch. It is absolutely just it's so kitschy and it's so fun. to get out. And you hear, first you hear the dinging of the bell, and then it goes up, and everyone runs down and takes photos, and then you get to see what kind of boats come through. So a lot of the sailboats, and this summer, actually, because the water level is so high, a lot of boats needed to have that bridge go up.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're hoping that the water levels go back down to normal soon. I think it might go down a little bit this summer again, but it was almost at record level high this summer.
Really?
So that bridge, I believe there was only eight feet of clearance from the water level to the top of the bottom of the bridge. So
Wow.
Yeah. But
that's
really
amazing.
It is a very fun, fun thing. And it's wave at the boats going through, and the Beaver Islander, which is the boat that goes from Charlevoix to Beaver Island, that goes through many times every day.
That's a really interesting part of history for Michigan that most people don't realize, that there was a king.
There was
self-appointed king, I think.
Yeah. And his last name was Strange. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that unique history?
Yeah, of course. So Beaver Island is 32 miles from Charlevoix. And Charlevoix is the gateway to Beaver Island, whether you want to fly, which is about a 15-minute flight, or you can ride the boat, which is about a 2 hour and 15 minutes. So it is, it's definitely an experience either way. From the air, it's just absolutely beautiful to see the waters, and you can see a lot of times the Mackinac Bridge. You can see the peninsulas down in Traverse City, the Lelandon, Old Mission peninsulas when you fly over to Beaver Island if it's a clear day. So definitely recommend flying as well as taking the boat. The boat experience, it is just so great. Except on a wavy day. So make sure you pick a calm day if you take the boat. But it's 32 miles and absolutely beautiful. It is rustic and really unspoiled and untouched, the land of Beaver Island.
Is the Manitou Islands accessible from Charlevoix or no?
No. So that would be closer to Traverse City.
Okay. Yep. Okay. But are there other islands besides Beaver Island? For some reason, I'm thinking of different.
There are. Yeah. Beaver Island, there's a few other islands, surrounding Beaver Island as well. So Garden Island, has a lot of Native American history. And Garden Island is to the north of Beaver Island. So Beaver Island is not, the soil and land is not very fertile. So the Native Americans actually, why it's called Garden Island, because you can actually grow quite a bit over there, and the soil is a lot better. It's a lot smaller island as well.
Is that the Ottawa and the Ojibwe people typically?
Ottawa, yeah.
The Ottawa band of people, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So they, their culture goes way back, but going back to their Irish history, when mm-hmm. King Beaver Island now has a lot of Irish heritage on, a lot of Irish people are still living there. But King Strange was a Mormon king. He proclaimed himself. So he was the only king in the United States. Way back. He brought a Mormon culture over to the island, and he was actually assassinated. As you can imagine, proclaiming yourself a king and thinking yourself that important could make some people not really like you. So
sure.
So it is a fascinating history. And if any of your viewers or listeners are into history, Charlevoix and Beaver Island are really a great wealth of history.
Yeah. Tell us, how did Charlevoix get its name? Because it's clearly a French name.
It is, yes. A lot of people that come here, they actually come into our office and they're like, "It's beautiful. How do you pronounce this?"
Yes.
We Americanized it. It should have been Charlevoix, and named for the French Jesuit missionary. His last name was Charlevoix. So Pierre François de Charlevoix. So he came through almost 300 years ago this summer, I believe, is the... so it's been a long time. And he was kind of one of the... He didn't stay long, but he was just... the namesake that Charlevoix was named after. So he kind of just traveled through, but the name stuck.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. So, and can you tell us about, I know they have big festivals there. So you have one of the things that is always so beautiful in the early summer is that, you know, Charlevoix really works as a community to make sure that that the whole city is beautiful. And so the lining the streets with petunias is such, tell us how did that come about?
Yes. So it's actually changed a little bit, which is nice. In the late 70s, a man named Dale Boss, he recently passed. He was a wonderful gentleman, but he had the idea to make Charlevoix beautiful by planting petunias on the side of the streets. Petunia City, it was just absolutely beautiful.
And it went for miles, didn't it?
It did, yes.
It was so gorgeous, this plethora of color. And you and Aaron at one point were in charge of it, weren't you? Or Aaron was, I should say.
Aaron was, yes. So the organization is Keep Charlevoix Beautiful, and they are just incredible people, all so giving of their time and energy. So for years and years, I think about 2 years ago, it changed a little bit. We're still lined with petunias, but now they are, after so many road construction projects and changing of the curbs, and we're actually a two-lane highway now instead of four. So it was four lanes, two going each way, and now we're two lanes with a center turn lane.
Really?
So that kind of changed the way that that the petunias could be watered. So because there's only one lane of traffic. So they decided to modernize it. And now we have large standing petunia baskets hanging.
They're gorgeous. It looks like a forest of flowers.
It is. It's absolutely. And I would say, honestly, now it's a little more eye-catching. Because it's right in your field of vision. You don't have to look down to see the petunias.
Right.
So it is just absolutely beautiful. So Dale's son, Beau, is now, he is now leading the charge on that. and he, you know, he's just such a nice and kind person. He actually runs the municipal ski hill as well, Mount McSaba. So he gives all of his time and energy for the community of Charlevoix.
That's
really
wonderful.
Great.
I remember one time years ago going with you and Aaron, and your husband is Dr. Aaron Wilkin. So we got to give him a little plug as a phenomenal chiropractor that he is.
Yes.
And my other son that I love so much, it's just amazing how everyone has come together in that community. But I remember going when he was in charge of planting all those petunias, and he said, "You want to see something?" And you guys brought me to where all the flats were on somebody's front yard. And I think it was probably an acre of petunias. It was just the most amazing sight.
Yes.
I thought, wow, that's dedication.
Yes.
is the community really, it's teamwork. It's not, you know, this is your job. Everyone participated, which is really beautiful. And that's what makes a community a community.
It was something to see. Everyone came out and planted and then had a big celebration in the park afterwards. It was very small town USA. It was amazing. And it still is amazing the amount of work that everyone puts in. So the community pays for it entirely by donation. And it's just, it's such a nice community experience.
And of course, I have to say hello to Audrey. Audrey Shapiro, Aaron's mom. Amanda's mother-in-law. And, you know, what really touched me is that she lived in Northern Michigan. and came down to Farmington Hills where we lived. But she knew that she wanted to go back as soon as Aaron had completed high school. And he's been there since 2000, right? Or 20. Yeah.
We moved here in 2008. But he
moved there in 2020 or 2000, yes. Excuse me, in 2000 when the guys graduated from high school.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was so
when Audrey moved here.
Mm-hmm. It was so wonderful. And what is so unique about the city of Charlevoix is their gorgeous, gorgeous library.
Very true. Yes.
Tell us about that, because it is probably the most beautiful library I think I've ever been in, and so unique and so inviting.
It is, you know, it is like a big city library in a very small town. It's absolutely beautiful. It was made from which was the old high school. So the stacks, the bookcases are actually in the old gymnasium, which has been renovated, and it is all kind of craftsman, mid-century
mission
modern
style.
Mission style. It is absolutely gorgeous. The woodwork, nothing was left to chance. It was all very planned and methodical. It is just absolutely beautiful. And it's a big, huge library. And many people from other communities around Northern Michigan come to the Charlevoix Library as their home library. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Yes. And it's a two-story library, which is unique. Many places just have a single story, or they have the kids in the lower level, but the kids are a part of the whole thing. You know, there's this whole beautiful area that's so playful and fun, and a big tree that's inside. And, you know, it makes learning, it makes reading, it makes appreciating life so much easier when it's a beautiful environment, not rigid like a school, not to say mm-hmm. that anything's wrong with a school necessarily, but, you know, it's fun. Who doesn't want to read underneath the tree? And if it's snowing outside, it's good to have the tree inside, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can get in a tree and pick up a phone and listen to a book. Actually, it's very unique. And a lot should be said for my mother-in-law, Audrey,
oh, yes.
who
Audrey
you mentioned. She was integral in planning out a lot of the children's area for the Charlevoix Library. So
love you, Audrey.
Her artistic vision played a huge role in what the library is today. And the children's section especially, and the children's section actually has its own garden, and it's just, there's some kind of kids activities. There's like a slide built in the children's garden. It is just, it's very, very cool. And, definitely worth coming to Charlevoix, honestly, just to see our library.
Yes, it is. And beautiful sculptures outside and outdoor musical instruments for kids to play. And just really, really well thought out. And again, community oriented, that you could walk literally and grab a cup of coffee, get some fudge, you know, go to a great restaurant, go to the library, all on foot.
Yes, yes. Everything downtown is walkable, which is so nice. So you can park your car once you get here. You can stay in a downtown hotel if you do want to walk everywhere and park your car and never go back until your trip is up. So it is very nice to have this small community with everything you could want is right walkable like that.
And another thing that I really enjoy so much, Amanda, is the unique restaurants, because you don't see chain restaurants. You see a few, very few. But, you know, there's such a unique diversity of family-owned, individually-owned restaurants that really bring such a level of comfortable cuisine, high cuisine. You know, you can walk into a small place and get a fabulous meal with fresh food, locally grown often. You know, it's really unique, I think, to Charlevoix that everything isn't imported necessarily.
Yes, many the local food movement is here, as it's most places, but because we have the great agriculture in the area, the diversity of foods that you can get is really incredible. And the restaurants are just great. As Elaine said, it's the restaurants are mom and pops, and you know, the chains really aren't here. We really don't have any chain retail, chain restaurants. It's really, you know, people that live and work in this community.
And you find such unique and beautiful things. Really, yes. You know, you're not going to go into a place and say, oh, gee, you must have shopped at such and such a place, you know, because everybody and their brother has the same thing. No, everything is so many handmade things, so many artisans, so many galleries. Of course, Audrey herself had a gallery, which, you know, was really bringing a lot of people together in ways to support themselves, but, you know, give a taste of Michigan to people that came throughout the area.
Yes, it's great. When you come to Charlevoix, you really find a unique experience overall. But if you want to buy anything, it's going to be unique as well.
And tell me about the Venetian Festival, because I know for years my son Brian used to love to go up to the Venetian Festival, probably still does. What's that about? Because it sounds Italian. Is it Italian?
Originally, I think they copied off of Venice. So it started as a candlelit boat parade. A long time ago. So I believe it's in its, I think it's the 90th. I could be wrong. It might be the 80th. But it's been going on for a long, long time.
Does it celebrate the beginning of the summer, or what is it? Is it a particular season that it's celebrating?
It's always the third week of July.
Okay.
So it's kind of right smack dab in the middle of summer. So it's always great weather. Maybe it's that time because of the weather is the best, in Northern Michigan in July. So, I'm not sure why it's then, but it's always the third week of July. It starts every day, so it's an entire week. There's live music. There's a lot of different sporting activities. The downtown is actually the street is closed for a few days toward the end, where the larger concerts come in, the larger name bands come in at the end of the week. And then there's fireworks on two nights. So one night is not good enough for us here in Charlevoix. So we have to do two nights of fireworks.
Well, there's nothing like watching the fireworks from a boat, I would imagine. Someday I got to do that up there.
Very true. Very true. Yes. So it is absolutely beautiful over the water. So you can watch two fireworks shows in one, because you can watch the reflection in the water. It's such an experience, and it's definitely the most popular time to be here as well. So if you do want to come for the Venetian Festival, I would suggest making lots of plans in advance and reservations in advance.
Yeah, because it fills up, doesn't it?
Yes,
you know,
it does.
And what another thing that's so unique, again, you know, your small shops and different kinds of things, is there's a wonderful art community up there. That is so, you know, to be an artist is a different road to go, you know, because it's not always easy to make a living, but it's so wonderful how there's such support in the community for the creative process. Because when you can create, you can come up with new ideas in ways besides just what you're painting on a canvas. You get you're thinking differently. You're thinking outside the box. You're learning how to create something from nothing. And that's an important skill that we need to remember.
For sure. Yeah. Yes. I try to dabble in art, even though I am, I am not very good at it, but you know, it does help to think in a different way. And just that experience, everyone should try to dabble in some type of art. I think it's very important. And this community, is great. I think a lot of artists tend to set up shop here because it is so beautiful, and the natural landscape is inspiring, for the art that they're doing. But they are here and they're very supportive of each other. And there's a lot of collaborative galleries, that many Michigan artists are featured in. So, any of the art galleries that you go to, you're going to see a lot of art from many people in Michigan, which is very nice.
That's great. So I want to talk about you and congratulate you for being, you know, to being singled out as the Young Professional of the Year, which for those who are not aware of it, it's individuals under 40 who have really made a substantial contribution, not just in the business world, but community and, you know, in really many, many ways. Tell us about that and how that's touched you. I'm sure it has, because I know that you're a very humble person.
Yeah, I don't want to talk. No, I'm just kidding.
Come on.
I am very honored and humbled. It's just amazing. At Visit Charlevoix is kind of the tourism end of economic development here in Charlevoix. And I actually office with the Chamber of Commerce. So for them to call me out and give me this award is so nice, because they see what I do on a day-to-day basis. So it truly means the world for them to recognize my efforts, you know, in the community, since they do see me every day. So they definitely know what I do. And for them to honor me with this award is so nice. And,
You also sit on many boards. You've done many things. You're not just sitting in your office doing something. You're really learning about your community, engaging the community, you know, literally helping people get to know one another. And sometimes it takes somebody who maybe wasn't necessarily born and raised there to be that one, because you're just naturally curious and you're naturally, you know, wanting to get to know people. And I think that's so wonderful.
I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for people that have lived here their whole lives, because they know the community better than anybody. They know everyone here. They grew up with everyone.
Right.
So for me to come in as a newcomer, to be accepted is so nice. You know, we've been here for 13 years now. So for us to be accepted in the community is so, it's just great.
And your children now, two little girls, you know, letting your girls, having your girls growing up with a community, you know, of individuals is really, really what we need to do for one another, especially as we've gone through this pandemic where people are isolated. You know, we need to not be isolated if we can help, you know, and do it in a safe way. And as it, we can kind of create a new norm that is healthy and a different level of respect for life itself. And I think that is really very important. And I think that you're working a long ways and doing a lot to make sure that happens.
Yes. Yeah. If I could say anything to your listeners, viewers, is to just get involved in your own communities. It's so important to be in a small community here in Charlevoix. It might be easier for us here because there's not as many people. So it's a lot easier to get involved in boards and committees. But any community that anyone lives in, you know, anyone would be welcome to get more involved. All the nonprofits and boards and committees really want more people involved. So the more involvement, the better, I think, is what's so important.
Well, and when we recognize that we're all in this together, you know, that, and especially in Northern Michigan, you know, some people have never been to Michigan, but when they come, it's breathtaking. You know, it really is the best of the four seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, even though it can be very cold, it's just so beautiful and pristine. And you see the power of the water, you see the power of the wind and, you know, moving dunes and, you know, there's just so much to be said and so much to be explored that really touches personally me, touches my heart. And, you know, sometimes I have to run away to go up north, you know, to just be immersed in something, you know, so beautiful and ancient.
Yes. Yes. It's definitely, you know, you're looking back in history and, the formation of the continents, and it's all evident here. And it's just so cool to look, even at looking at a Petoskey stone, which has,
I wanted to ask you about. Most people don't realize that the Great Lakes were formed by glaciers.
Right. Yeah.
And that these Petoskey stones, which are the state stone, literally was a living organism. It was coral, right?
Yep, fossilized coral. Yes. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants to come find Petoskey stones, they can come to my office and take me out of the office, and I'll go to the beach with you.
I tell you, once you walk down to the beach and you got big pockets, it's a good workout walking back up because your pockets are full of stones. It's like looking at a carpet of jewels because there's so many colors and literally, you know, the Great Lakes are so rich in minerals and really beautiful things that you wouldn't even think of. I mean, just kaleidoscope of color.
Yes, it really.
Stones are beautiful and unique.
Yes, yes. And just going to the beach really relaxes you and it brings you joy and it just kind of, it just grounds you, as you know.
Yes. And, you know, when I remember bringing a friend to one of the Great Lakes who was born and raised in Israel. And so she grew up in the desert. And when she saw the Great Lakes for the first time, she literally fell to her knees and sobbed because she had never seen that much fresh water in one place at one time. It was overwhelming to her. And literally, you know, for those who have never been, and I hope many people will come to Michigan, not all at once, but, you know, but it's literally like a fresh water ocean. That's how huge they are, that people just are astounded when they actually see it, and the beauty it brings.
Yes, yes, yes. It is absolutely an experience, and I think everyone should come at some point in their lives if they can.
So, Amanda, what is the best way for people to reach you as they come up, and how do they find the Chamber of Commerce or you in particular for Visit Charlevoix? So you can give them a personal tour to find potassium stones.
just mention Elaine and I'm happy to give you a personal tour. Visitcharlevoix.com is our website. So that will give you any information on and how to get here. Or you can just Google Charlevoix and Charlevoix Information Center will come up.
You'll be able to find the lighthouses and just it's a buzz with activity, but in a beautiful way because it's a community that is growing within itself and protecting itself but ushering and inviting other people in. That's always a beautiful thing. I want to thank you for what you do personally, my sweet friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I love you. And thank you so much for everything that you do. And thanks for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely been a pleasure. So this is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And remember, your community is your home. Mother Earth is your home. Take care of it. Preserve it. Enjoy it.